Good morning. We welcome all of you this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And welcome our guests and visitors. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you. I have some announcements this morning. All the announcements you'll find in your bulletin, please make sure you read through all those. I'm not going to go through all those. I have a couple of announcements. One is to please mark down the dates November 5th through November 8th. November 5th through November 8th. These are our revival services. So we want to make sure that we get that on our calendars, November 5th through November 8th, starting on Sunday morning and lasting through Wednesday evening. At 7 o'clock in the evening is when the evening services start. Two more announcements. One is Women's Bible Study will meet this Thursday at 6 o'clock. This Thursday, Women's Bible Study at 6 o'clock. And next announcement is for youth and also for the church to know, we are having a youth event tonight. The youth are going to hear an Olympic gold medalist speak, David Bedaya. I'm not sure if that's his last name, but they're going to Grantville. But youth tonight meet at 5 p.m. at the lower parking lot. And do we have any other announcements this morning? Let's all stand then for our call to worship. And remain standing for our opening songs of praise, which will be sung by our praise team. This morning I'm going to be talking about the importance of singing our prayers to God, particularly when we're in a battle of our own. And this morning's call to worship talks about giving our God praise. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Let's continue to praise our God as we sing our songs by the praise team, Days of Elijah, and Shout to the Lord. Let us pray. God, we thank you and we praise you this morning. Lord, these songs of praise, Lord, are all about you. It's not about us. It's about what you have done. It's what you have done on the cross for us through Jesus Christ. And Lord, this morning, we count it and consider it an honor and privilege to worship you this morning. We pray that we would turn all of our thoughts towards you, Lord. Nothing compares to the promise that we have towards you, O God. We thank you for the praise team singing these songs of worship with us and for the congregation joining. We pray that everything that we do today, Lord, in this time of worship will honor and praise you as our only God and Jesus Christ as our only Savior. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This time the children can come forward for the children's story.
All right, everybody come over here and have a seat. Right over here in this little corner. Benjamin. Oh, it's okay. All right, come over here and have a seat. Well, how is everybody today? You good? Good. All right, who has their Halloween costume already? You got yours? A vampire. Oh, my goodness. How about you? You don't know what it's called? That's okay. Have you got one? Okay, so this Saturday, we're going to have a trunk or treat here at the church, all right, from 4 to 6. Get to go around the different trunks, get some candy, and come inside and play some games with our youth and get some food. How's that sound? Good? Okay, so tell your friends, all right? Okay, we are going to meet a new person today. Her name is Thea. So, on the count of three, you're going to say, come out, Thea. Ready? One, two, three. Come out, Thea.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi. What are you looking at on that map that you have there?
I got to find a mountain.
A mountain? What for?
I need to talk to God.
You don't need to climb a mountain. You can talk to God anywhere.
But God told Elijah to go climb a mountain. God said he would meet him there.
That's right, Thea. Elijah was feeling so low, so his beard was dragging on the ground.
Just like me, except I don't have a beard.
What are you feeling low about?
Well, I tried to tell Pete Poodle about God, and he made fun of me. And it wasn't just Pete. Some other kids made fun of me, too.
Elijah would understand how you feel. He had to tell the Israelites that God was angry because they wouldn't obey him. They didn't like that one bit.
Did they laugh at Elijah?
Worse than that, they tried to kill him. He felt very alone. He thought he was the only one who loved God.
But then God told him to go to a mountain, right?
Not just any mountain. God told him to go to Mount Horeb, God's mountain. But when Elijah got there, some scary things happened.
Oh, I remember. Can I be Elijah? Huh? Can I? I can be scared.
Okay. Maybe you all can help Thea act it out, too. Yeah, just let him down, Marty. Okay. So here we go. Let's act it out. First, a big wind howled down the mountain and almost blew Elijah away. So where's your wind? Start shaking back and forth. There you go. Brayden's got it going on. All right. Then the whole mountain shook until Elijah's teeth rattled in his head. So start shaking your head. Shake your head, Braden. Your teeth are rattling. There you go. Okay, good. Now, and then fire and smoke poured out of the mountain. Poor Elijah coughed. All right, cough like Thea. Elijah coughed until his face was purple. Can you cough, Braden? There you go. You got it too. Oh, yeah, good job. Elijah thought that must be God speaking to him.
Bitch, that wasn't God. He doesn't like to scare people.
You're right. When God finally spoke to Elijah, it was a tiny whisper.
A tiny whisper. Guess you have to be really still and listen hard for God. Except, I'm not very good at sitting still. What did God say?
When he encouraged Elijah, he told him that lots of people in Israel loved God.
I wonder what God would say to me.
What do you need to hear?
Same thing as Elijah, that there are others who love God too.
Well, why don't you find out right now?
Okay. Hey, kids, I'm going to count to three. Then if you love God, you just yell out, I love God. Okay, here we go. One, two, three. I love God! Wow, that was super fantabulous!
I think God just encouraged you and all the boys and girls here, too.
What? And I didn't even have to climb a mountain.
Well, how about that? What do you think? Can we learn from Elijah and be still and listen and wait for God's whisper? Yeah. All right, so, Thea.
Yeah.
Can you do our closing prayer?
Sure thing.
All right, so everybody, we got to repeat after Thea. You ready? Let's bow your head, close your eyes. Here we go.
Dear God.
Dear God.
We thank you so much for your love.
We thank you so much for your love.
And we thank you for listening to us.
And we thank you for listening to us.
And we don't even have to climb a mountain.
We don't even have to climb a mountain.
You're awesome.
You're awesome.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's say bye to Thea.
Bye, guys. See you later.
Is she alive?
Is she alive? Well, she was talking to us, right?
I'm alive. I'm real.
All right, go on back. Go on back to your seat, please.
For that offertory statement, or for that children's story. Offertory statement right now is taken from 1 Chronicles 29, verses 11 through 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory. The victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Let us pray for our offertory prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are the great giver. You have given us everything. You have given us salvation through Jesus Christ. Everything that we see, Lord, comes from you. Right now, Lord, we pause and we give what we have back to you, Lord. We pray that these might, Lord, further your kingdom so that we might be faithful to you. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point, the ushers will come forward as we sing, as we take up our offering. And there's an offertory song today, Victory in Jesus.
I heard the whole story, how Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Precious blood atoning, then I repent.
Ones that we need to pray for this morning. And please keep these folks in prayer. Also, I'll be doing a funeral this week for one of your former members who is also a choir director here back in the 80s, Walter Herr. Walter Herr passed away. And the service is going to be at the funeral home here in Myerstown. Visitation's at 10 o'clock, and the service is at 11. So please keep that family in prayer. Let's come to God this morning for a morning prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning, giving our praise to you, giving our worship to you, and giving our lives to you. And God, as we are a church, Lord, we are also the people that you have called us to be. We thank you, God, for giving us the church, which is founded through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have this freedom and privilege to worship you. And, oh God, we want to remember the Christians, Lord, who are being persecuted at this time for worshiping Jesus Christ. We lift them up to you in prayer this morning. We also pray for our nation, for our leaders, for our president. And, God, we just pray that you would empower our leaders, Lord, of our nation, during this time, but most important, we pray for the people of our nation, that we would turn to you. We read from the Bible, 1 Chronicles, where it says, "If my people, who are called by my name, who humble themselves and worship you," that's what we're called to do. We as a people, Lord, are to humble ourselves before your mighty throne. We pray that we might do that. And Lord, that our Christian witness, our Christian upbringing, Lord, begins in a home. We pray for all families right now, Lord, where the Word of God needs to be taught. We pray for our parents, who are the primary instructors of leading our children and our youth. Pray for parents, Lord, that they be bold in their witnesses as well as their love for the children, Lord. We pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up in this church. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that everything that we do centers on the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross that you provided. And Lord, I pray for anyone this morning, Lord, who has never made that decision to follow Jesus Christ, that you would cause them, Lord, in your own calling to make that decision today. And for those, Lord, who are straying away from the faith for whatever reason, Lord, we just pray that you would call them back. Help us to be faithful, Lord, in reading your scripture, reading your word. This morning, Lord, we're going to be looking at a prayer of the Bible. We pray that our prayers, that we'd be faithful in our prayer. And our prayers need to center, Lord, in what you say in your word. And right now, Lord, we lift up the many people this morning that are on the prayer list, Lord. You know each one by name. You know what each person's facing. We lift them to you right now. The trial that they're facing, the illness that some of these are facing, the family circumstance, Lord. Right now, Lord, we lift up the family of Walter Herr, who passed away. This servant who served your church in music, we lift the family too as they mourn his loss, but celebrate his life. And we pray that we, as people of the church, might support this family by coming out to the service and the visitation, Lord, if we're able to do that. And for others, Lord, who have lost loved ones, we know in this church that we have had a number of people who have passed away recently. Pray that you be with those families, Lord, who are dealing with those losses, the spouses, Lord, who are dealing with losses. We lift them to you. Pray now that you would open up our hearts and minds as we look into your word and hear what you have to say, Lord. For we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles today to our scripture text. We're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 5 to 15. I didn't have time this week to put together an insert sheet, but on the back of this insert sheet, you'll see a blank page. If you want to, you can just get a pen out or pencil, and you can jot some notes down this morning. We're looking at the prayer of Jehoshaphat, who is one of the kings, one of the good kings of Judah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 5 through 15, this is the prayer of Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 5 through 15, hear the word of the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assemblies of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, of the sons of Apphis, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all of you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." May God add a blessing of the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your holy word, which was spoken, Lord, and I pray that you guide every word that I speak, that you guide every word through your Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ would be uplifted and God would be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. Question for you to think about. Are you fighting an uphill battle this morning? Now, what is an uphill battle? An uphill battle is where the odds are against you and victory seems to be impossible. How many of you are fighting an uphill battle? Well, this morning's message is about how we can find victory when you learn to turn our own battle over to the Lord. How can you find victory? First point, step up your spiritual weapons against the enemy. Or to shorten it, just put down spiritual weapons. Now, the spiritual weapons that are mentioned this morning in the text include fasting as well as prayer. Now, fasting, we all know what prayer is, but fasting is also a form of prayer. It's also a form of our devotion to God, where we are doing without food for a certain amount of time, and that is strictly up to the individual. Strictly up to the individual. But there were times when God and leaders of God would call for fasting, which is kind of a way of stepping up your weapons against the enemy. Now, what's considered to be the enemy of our battle? The enemy is anything that is against God and his order and his purpose. The enemy is anything that is against God and his order and his purpose. It's when you feel as though you have no power. It's when you feel as though the odds are against you and something needs to be done, something big and powerful. And that's when you turn to God. Let's look at King Jehoshaphat and see what battle he was facing. Look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, where it says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah." Now, the word feared is a good word. It's not a bad word. Feared means to stand in awe of God. When you fear God in this context, when you fear God, it's when you look to God and think, he is my only rock, he is my only resource. In this context, Jehoshaphat was facing a battle, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast. Now, put yourself in the place of Jehoshaphat. The first thing he did in his battle was to set himself to seek the Lord, and he called for a fast. He did not seek any other source. Now think about that. He did not seek any other source. How many sources do we look to today for help that's not of God? He did not seek any other source other than God himself. That's the first thing he did. Now, who was King Jehoshaphat? He was the king of Judah. He was considered to be a good king. Most of the kings of Israel and Judah in the Bible were bad kings. They did evil things. He was a good king. Why? Because he walked in the steps of his father, who was also a good king. You know, they passed down generations. But Jehoshaphat was king when there was a lot of war. And that was the challenge he was facing. During his reign, Israel was in the midst of a lot of war. And here he is against three powerful nations, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. We see that in verse 10. And Israel and Judah had a history of war with these nations. And then Jehoshaphat, in verse 2, had some people who came to him. And they said, a great multitude is coming against you. Now think about that. Here is this leader, and all these people came to him and said, there's a bunch of people who are coming against you. Now what would you do? What would you do if you'd be King Jehoshaphat? Okay. I mean, can you hear the fear in their voices? All these people are coming against you. What are you going to do? Well, Jehoshaphat did not shy away. He didn't say, well, I can't handle this many people. I give up. He didn't do that. No, instead, he turned to God, and he knew that this battle was not some ordinary battle. And so he called for the entire nation of Judah to fast and pray. Now, there have been times in our own nation of the United States where we had presidents who gave a proclamation of having a day of prayer and fasting. We haven't seen that, I think, for a long time. But George Washington and Abraham Lincoln were two presidents where they actually called the entire nation into a time of prayer and fasting during a difficult time. And on April 30th, 1863, President Lincoln at that time designated that day as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And if you recall, that was a time when our nation was in the midst of a civil war, probably one of the worst times in our nation's history. And I have a copy of Lincoln's proclamation here, and I'm going to read a portion of what he says. He says, We as a nation have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us. Now, therefore, in compliance with the request and fully concurring in the views of the Senate, I do by this my proclamation designate and set apart Thursday, the 30th day of April, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And I do hereby request all the people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits, and to unite and at their several places of public worship here and their respective homes in keeping the day holy to the Lord and devote to the humble discharge of religious duties proper to that solemn occasion. Now, what was Lincoln doing with his proclamation? He was seeking strength in numbers. He was building up his spiritual warfare with the people of the nation by telling them to fast and pray. Look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 4. Look what happened next. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Now here is where we see strength in numbers. Okay? Joshua chapter 15 lists 124 cities of Judah. So when he's talking about the cities of Judah coming to seek the Lord, we're talking that many. They came to seek the Lord. And underline that sentence where it says to seek the Lord in this upcoming battle. It tells us this. When you're in the midst of your own spiritual battle, increase your warfare. Increase your spiritual warfare. Increase your armor. Get as many people as you can who will pray for you. But remember, whoever you call on, they need to be on the same page, seeking the Lord in prayer. Second point, we find victory through God when we know the God that you're praying to. You have to know the God that you're praying to. Now look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6. We can see here how Jehoshaphat saw God. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? So Jehoshaphat praised God in his prayer, and so should we. He basically says, God, you can do all things. You're all powerful. You're almighty. You rule the nations. No one can stand against you. God needs to hear that. Brothers and sisters, God needs to hear that from you and me when you pray to him. Also, it's find this interesting. Who is Jehoshaphat praying to in this prayer? Who is he speaking to? Verse 5, the people of Judah and Jerusalem, and also verse 13 says he was speaking to the little ones, the wives, and their children who stood before the Lord. So he is speaking to the families who knew God. A wonderful witness today, isn't it? And then he gives the people a history lesson. We find this a lot in the Old Testament. When people are struggling with God, the leaders say, hey, look at your history, look what God did. So he told the people how God delivered them in their path in verse 78. In verse 7 and 8, he told the people how God drove out the Egyptians, how God gave his people descendants. That was important, to have descendants. And how God gave them a place to worship in a sanctuary. Now that sounds like a God that I want to commit my entire life to. But what was the one sin that the people of God wanted to do? They always wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to their former life. Remember? Remember what the Bible said about the people who complained to Moses? Why did they complain? They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to live that entire life over again. In fact, in Exodus 16, verse 3, some people even said to Moses, you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. They just totally forgot how God delivered them, what God did for them. And so as I read that, I thought to myself, what if God would give you and I a history lesson with our own life? What would he say? What history would he give you? What would be his story? What would be the details? And could you honestly say that God was not mighty and powerful in your life? Take a review and look back at your life. Can you honestly say in your heart that God was not mighty and powerful in your life? Jehoshaphat continues to pray before the people. Look at what he says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you'll hear and save. And so he looks at all these things, sword, which is war, judgment, pestilence, and famine. Now that pretty much covers any disaster we see. Sword, which is war, judgment, pestilence, famine, all these disasters. He says God has it covered. God has it covered. But we must cry out to him in our affliction, especially when we're in places of worship like the sanctuary here. That's where we're to cry out because we believe God's name is here. This is a special place. So that leads me to ask, why would anyone want to go back against God when you know God's history with you? For some of you this morning, maybe your battle is in your past. We all have a past. We all have things that happened that was not good. We can't get past it. And you're asking yourself, okay, is God powerful enough for me to move on to my next chapter in life? Whatever that would be. The Bible tells us, wonderful verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. We all have our seasons. You know, we all have our season of birth. We have our season of death. We have times of laughing, times of mourning, times of weeping, time to gain, time to lose. God covers every season in our lives. He's there. And that should be enough to give us peace and comfort when we're in any season. Our lives are a series of events where we are in one place, then we move on. That might include marriage, might include school, might include graduation where you're going to the next level, might be a change in your job. We must learn to trust God, then move on to the next season. When I first met Rachel, she had to decide whether she wanted to move away from her job in North Carolina to be with me and be a pastor's wife. No big decision to make. No big deal. She thought, what am I going to do? Now, at that time, when I first met Rachel, she was living in North Carolina, and I just became the pastor of her home church, Copper Hill Church of the Brethren near Virginia, Roanoke, Virginia. Rachel was living in North Carolina. And word got out to Rachel while she was living in North Carolina. Word got up through the grapevine, you know, how that works, the grapevine. Just news carries fast. That there was this new pastor of Rachel's church, and this new pastor is single. Okay, word got out that I was single to her. All right. I don't know how that happened. And according to our district executive, David Shoemate, when Rachel heard that I was single, she made a beeline to Virginia and said, that's it, I'm moving to Virginia. She'll deny that. She says it. She'll say it's her job, but I know it was all about me. Now, I was in the back of her mind at that time. I was in the back of her mind. That leads to the third point. What do we do when we do move on? Number three, be firm in your faith in God. Verse 9. We will stand before this temple and in your presence. In the midst of the enemy, in the midst of the sword, the judgment, the pestilence, the famine, the battle, we will take our stand with God. It's not a time to retrieve. Not a time to turn away from God. To stand before the Lord means to be established, immovable. For example, if you're going through any kind of trial, I always say this. Think back to the time when you made your decision to accept Jesus Christ in your life. Think back to the time when your baptism. We're looking at this morning in our Brethren Beliefs class, a baptism. Think of the first vow at your baptism, which is belief. Do you believe Jesus is God's son, and you believe and trust him as your Lord and Savior? Think about that. Think about that. That vow you took. Stand on that in anything you face in life. That's the only requirement God expects from us, that we need to stand firm, and he will do the rest and fight our battle. Now, what does it mean to have God fight our battles? Number one, humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. Look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Underline the words, our eyes are upon you. If you're in prayer about something and you believe you're getting something from God, a thought, an idea, and that thought and idea is something that you never thought about, it's probably from God. All right? I know that happens. When you're praying for something, you know, we all want our own outcome. We want to see these things happen. And when God gives you something and you're like, where'd that come from? It's probably from God. God does this because he wants you to continually seek and pray for more answers, more insight. You want to know more because a lot of times God doesn't give you the whole thing. He doesn't give you the whole answer. He gives you bits and pieces because he wants you to continually seek him, seek his ways. That way your eyes are on the Lord and nothing else. That's what it means to be humble. That's what it means to humble yourself before God. It means that you will do something that never came from you. When I first felt God calling me into the ministry, that did not come from me. I never planned to become a pastor when I was a teenager, when I was in my 20s. I never thought of that, okay? But when that's why I knew that this was from God, and of course I needed counsel through my pastor and other people giving me counsel, okay? God worked that through me. And then and this happens to anybody who goes into the ministry, you're thinking, what are other people going to think about me going into the ministry? And that wasn't good. That was wrong for me to think that. Because when you do that, your eyes are not on the Lord, they're on other people. You got to keep your eyes, keep your focus on the Lord himself. Another thing we need to do in order for God to fight our battle is, to number two, continually praise God. If you look at the text today, there's a lot of praising of God. And that's an important lesson that we need to know. And there is an important person in today's text that we need to know in verse 14. His name is Jahaziel. Jahaziel was a Levite who was in charge of leading the worship in the temple. And this guy had a lot of wisdom from God. And it was he who told Jehoshaphat and all the people, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, that's important to remember. It wasn't Jehoshaphat who thought of that. He was told that by this Jahaziel. And then the people began to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Now, look at that in verse 19. When did people begin to praise God? It began before God gave them victory. But as the people were singing their praises to God, God fought their battle. Okay? So it's important to sing your praises to God as you're facing the battle, during the battle, and after the battle, because God wants us to praise his name from on high. Before the battle, during the battle, and after. And if that means getting your Bible out and read a verse from the Psalms, you need to do that. I was looking into Psalms this past week. And if you look at Psalms 146 through Psalm 150, those are very important Psalms to read when it comes to praising God. I'm just going to read a couple of these. Psalm 146, verse 2. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Psalm 147, verse 15. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. God's word runs swiftly. Another one you can write down. Psalm 148, verse 13. Psalm 148, 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And finally, the entire Psalm 150 talks about how God is praised in all these ways. It's important to read these verses. And repetition is very important when it comes to reading the word. If it means repeating that verse over and over again, you do it. There's value in repetition. You need to say it until you're convinced that your battle is won. So let's all praise God this morning. Praise him for sending us Jesus Christ. That's another important part. The important part is praise God for sending Jesus Christ, who won the battle on the cross for us and gave us eternal life. Without Jesus Christ, we'd all still be fighting the battle of sin and separation from God. But praise God, he gave us a victory. Make him Lord of your life. Make him Lord of your battle. And give your life to him and give God all the glory and honor he deserves. Let us pray. God, we thank you and praise you that you're a powerful God, Lord, and that you already fought the battle through Jesus Christ on the cross. Help us, Lord, to commit our entire lives to him because of that battle that he won. I pray for anyone this morning who is facing an uphill battle, Lord, that you would give them assurance, Lord, that you're there with them. And Lord, that you would cause them to commit their lives to you, commit this battle to you, Lord God. Pray that you continue to give us hope that you're with us through anything that we face. And you pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing song is Our God. It's a song of praise. This morning, if you want to make a decision for the Lord or if you need prayer for anything, I invite you to come forward and I'll pray for you. And let's all sing our song together, Our God.
God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.